Welcome back. I'm Holly Kernan, and this is Your Call. Between 2008 and 2011, there were 3.8 million foreclosures in the United States, more than 750,000 completed foreclosures in California, and roughly 12,000 in the city of San Francisco alone. California is one of five states that made up more than 50% of the nation's foreclosures since the crash of 2008. And the recent $26 billion mortgage settlement found that the five largest banks engaged in a pattern of unfair and deceptive practices. But homeowners and activists, including those involved in the Occupy movement, have raised their voices and gotten creative in the struggle to resist foreclosure and eviction. In San Francisco, Occupy Bernal activists have successfully postponed six housing auctions, including one of our guests. And they've set their sights on a citywide foreclosure and eviction moratorium backed by City Supervisor John Avalos. So have you been affected by a foreclosure? How do you see people creatively fighting against evictions? Joining us to talk about this today, we have Grace Martinez. She's an organizer with the Alliance of Californians for Community Empowerment, or ACE. Hi, Grace.
Hello.
Alberto Del Rio is an activist with Occupy Bernal in San Francisco, and he's currently fighting foreclosure of his own home in Bernal.
Yes.
Right? Hi.
Hi.
And Vivian Richardson has successfully had her foreclosure rescinded. She lives in the San Francisco Bayview District, which is one of two San Francisco neighborhoods with the most foreclosures. Hi, Vivian.
Hi.
Thank you for joining us. We've also got Cora Currier on the phone with us from ProPublica. She has looked at the $26 billion big bank settlement over mortgage servicer abuses, and it was finalized earlier this month. It says that Bank of America, Allied Financial, and J.P. Morgan Chase for billions in penalties and direct payments. Hi, Cora.
Hi.
And I'm going to give out the number early today because we really want to hear from you if you've been affected by an eviction or a foreclosure, if you've tried to get your mortgage refinanced, or if you've resisted foreclosure and eviction. And how have you seen people creatively fighting against evictions in your neighborhood? You can give us a call at 866-798-TALK. That's a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. You can also send us an email to feedback@yourcallradio.org. And we're wondering also what you think of the way the Occupy movement has been organizing around the foreclosure epidemic and occupying homes. Do you see that as effective? You can call us at 866-798-TALK. Again, 866-798-8255. It's a toll-free number. So I want to start with you, Vivian. You got your foreclosure notice in, what, 2011?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so what happened? I think you said that you were late with your last payment.
That is correct. I was on a forbearance plan. I was late by a few days. I called in. My check is actually a state check, so, of course, you know, the problems with the state.
And so the state was late in paying you, and so you were late with your payment.
Exactly. Yikes. And I called the servicer to let them know what was going on, asked for some additional time, and they basically told me over the phone that it was too late.
Your home was going straight into foreclosure?
Right.
So how quickly did the process happen from there?
It was just a month or so that
really?
It only took, yes. And I think they actually called it the dual tracking process.
And did you try to get a loan modification?
Oh, yes. For 2 years, I tried to get the modification. And the servicer just kept losing paper, holding on to it. You hear the same story.
You hear the same story over and over and over again. It's almost mind-boggling that this could happen, that they could lose this much paperwork.
It happens.
And so how did you then eventually be successful in fighting back?
I was watching the news one evening and saw Tanya Dennis over in Oakland, California, and saw her fighting for her home. She reoccupied her home, and I saw these beautiful yellow t-shirts with the name ACE written across, and I did not get the whole story or the name of the organization ACE, but I did go on my computer. I looked it up. I found the numbers to the corporate and, you know, San Francisco offices, and I just start calling, and then I got a call back from Grace.
And so did you do some sort of Occupy? How did you go about fighting this?
Fortunately, I never left my home. But I did. I actually started to speak up through the press and just just started to speak up and speak out and put that chain behind me. And
they rescinded the foreclosure notice.
With the help of ACE and other organizations and community-based organizations, we blasted out 1,400 emails and several hundred phone calls to the president of Aurora Loan Services, which is my servicer, and they called me within an hour of that email blast and said, please update my Facebook status to let everyone know that we're in communications with you.
Wow.
And it took just a short time to actually rescind the loan.
So after all of these years of trying to get somebody on the phone, that's what it took.
That's
was the power of people, having a lot of people behind
Absolutely.
You. All right,
Absolutely.
So let's turn to Grace. Can you give us a sense, we just heard Vivian's story, but can you give us a sense of the scope of what's happening in California and how fast this is happening? I think you said by the end of the year there might be 2 million?
And from 2008 to the end of the year, I think we're approximately, it's about 2 million, close to 2 million because of, just the number, the overwhelming number of these type of loans in the community.
So, so it sounds like it's actually foreclosures are happening more quickly now.
I think on top of the fact that, people are losing their jobs, you're seeing, people who have been struggling and been able to hold on for a while, and also the last round of predatory loans and pick a payment loans that happened probably at the end of 2007 have started to reset as well.
And I think I wasn't very clear when I said that 2 million number. Grace Martinez is predicting that by the end of this year, since 2008, since the crash, that there will have been two million foreclosures in California.
Yeah, close to that.
Yeah.
It's actually based on our Wrecking Ball, ACE and CRC's Wrecking Ball report that was released last September.
Okay.
And those numbers are based on Realty Track data that was gathered, and also based on the trend of foreclosures.
So you mentioned predatory lending. I think by now many listeners know what that term means. I believe you were referring to subprime mortgages, but could you just explain what you're talking about when you say predatory lending?
Well, it's exactly subprime lending. I think it's the type of loans that, someone with better credit would deserve would actually qualify for a better loan, yet, because of either because of where the neighborhood is, their age, however the broker or the bank sees them, they'll give them a loan that is actually subprime instead of like a loan that they probably should qualify for with a standard loan, essentially.
And a lot of the time, seniors, communities of color, Latinos, Spanish-speaking immigrants were often targeted for these sorts of loans.
There's also been cases where banks have purchased medical records and solicited people based on those records for loans.
So what are you saying? You're saying that somebody who has a healthcare crisis might have been targeted so that they could say you can pay for your healthcare if you...
Well, knowing that they probably need the extra cash. They also, especially with a lot of seniors in neighborhoods like the Bayview or Excelsior or, Bernal, is that you have a lot of families who've lived there for a while and they have a lot of equity in their home. So, go.
And I'm sure you get this question a lot, but I'm going to ask it to you because I've heard some people say, people got into these loans knowingly and they're responsible for making the payments. What's your argument to somebody who says that?
Well, I would argue the fact that it wasn't knowingly. There have been several cases, especially with World Savings loans, where the income was written up. There was
where they changed what the actual income was on the papers,
exactly.
Even though somebody had reported what their actual income was and
exactly.
it was less.
Exactly. There's even been one of our members, Archbishop King, who's also actively fighting his case with World Savings. There was. An issue with fraud. Most people don't misspell their names, but obviously, or change their signature at the last minute. But there were cases with his paperwork when he had done a review and brought his case to Kamala Harris and the DA here in San Francisco, where he, it wasn't his signature. And it also wasn't his name. It was misspelled.
And San Francisco Assessor Phil Ting released an audit that he had called for earlier this year, and that shows that more than 80%, I think it's 84%, mm-hmm. of foreclosure notices filed in San Francisco contain at least one legal irregularity, and many contain multiple. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of the reason that Supervisor John Alvarez is calling for a moratorium.
Yeah.
Let's bring Cora into this. Cora from ProPublica, are you with us?
Yep.
So can you tell us about what this recent settlement, this $26 billion multi-state settlement with the banks, what's in it and how much will it really provide for homeowners?
Well, I think the first thing to clarify is that it is, you know, $26 billion is the total, but, you know, only $6 billion of that actually is like a penalty of any sort on the banks. I mean, they're of that. $6 billion. $1 billion is a direct penalty to the Federal Housing Administration. The remaining $4 billion are penalties to state and local governments, and about $1.5 billion, which will go in direct payments to homeowners who were wrongfully foreclosed upon between 2008 and 2011, so during the sort of peak of the housing crisis.
Is that enough money to cover all the people who were wrongfully foreclosed upon?
You know, I mean, the government estimates that about 750,000 people will qualify. You know, if you do the math, that averages out to a $2,000 payout. So, you know, you're looking at, first of all, a fairly small number of people in the scheme of the number of people who were foreclosed upon in total. And also, you know, $2,000 is fairly small consolation if you lost your home.
So how do you assess this settlement? What are the pros and cons?
Well, the pros are, you know, for some people, the other $20 billion of the settlement goes towards encouraging banks to, incentives for banks to do principal reduction. So, for, you know, for people who qualify, they might be able to reduce the amount that they owe on their mortgage originally. They might be able to refinance more easily. So there's that element of it for people, for those who qualify. And then there's also a new set of guidelines for mortgage servicers, which are supposed to have a little more teeth than previous ones. They're supposed to prevent some of the abuses that got us here in the first place. So those are the upsides. The downsides are that, you know, in relative to the scale, I mean, as you said, 1 million foreclosures in California, I think 3.8 million total foreclosures since 2008 nationally. I mean, it seems like, you know, not enough to help what you know, all the damage that's been done to the housing market.
So then why did states sign on to this?
I mean, that's some of the question. I mean, there was a sense, I think, that it was time to move on. Many of the states that were particularly reluctant to sign on, California was one of them, you know, did make sure to carve out you know, not to release the banks from, you know, some future charges so they could keep investigating particular claims of wrongdoing. But I think the sense was, well, we can, you know, give the banks, you know, we can basically make them offer a lot more help for homeowners this way. So that was what they decided to do.
And I don't know if you can answer this, Cora, but I'm wondering, with the big bank bailout that this nation did, how come that didn't trickle down to homeowners?
That's been a big question on this settlement, is why, you know, if part of the reason for you know, the settlement not being as hard on banks in terms of penalties as some people thought was this idea that, you know, people thought, you know, well, are the banks still hurting? Are we, you know, going to really ding them at a time when they're still struggling to get back on their feet as well? But, you know, most of the banks passed the Fed's most recent stress test, so it does appear that they are, you know, pretty well back on their feet.
And that's Cora Currier. She's a writer for ProPublica, and she's looked at the $26 billion bank settlement over mortgage abuses. We're also joined by Grace Martinez. She's an organizer with the Alliance of Californians for Community Empowerment. And we have two folks who are fighting and have fought foreclosure, Vivian Richardson and Alberto Del Rio. So, Alberto, let's hear a little bit more about your story. You're currently facing foreclosure in your house in Bernal Heights, and I know that you went through, Vivian mentioned the loan modification process, trying to call the bank and see if you can get a loan modification. Can you talk about what that was like?
Yeah, definitely. We had started approximately about 2.5 years ago trying to modify the loan. We called the bank, you know, seeking out a loan modification. And the process was started. But then simultaneously, time after time, we had to restart the process and restart the process and restart the process.
Due to the fact that
One, we never got a call from the bank where there was any missing paperwork or anything, or something didn't transmit, according to their words. So when, we did finally call up and follow up with them, they say, well, we something wasn't transmitted. You missed Section 3 of 8, and it was just the runaround. It was frustrating. So we had to, restart all over again and restart and restart till finally it was early of last year when I was talking to somebody from Wells Fargo, and, they will deny this all the time. But I will say that they told us that if you want us to actually do something with your loan, you're going to have to stop paying.
I've heard that from so many people. You have to go into default for us to even begin talking with you.
Exactly. And, the most frustrating part about it all is that prior to that, we maintained the payments. We had a substantial amount of actually reserves set aside that we were using to pay. And to keep current, because we didn't want to go in default. We don't want to lose a home.
This is the house that you grew up in.
Yes, it is.
And now you live there with your wife and kids.
Yes, and I'm raising my children there in, a beautiful neighborhood. And it was frustrating. And it wasn't up until, we actually ran out of money. And I was frustrated. I was trying to find, trying to call the bank, work with the bank, and this was probably about late December. I was, I'm a man of faith, and I was like, God, I need some direction. It's kind of frustrating having to go out with your family, excuse me, and arrive home. And wonder if there's going to be a real estate locker on there, or we're going to be locked out. Are we going to have access back to our home?
And yours was actually slated for auction, right? Earlier this year. How did you get that moved?
It wasn't until I started getting involved into the with Occupy Bernal. Like I was saying, I was fortunate to have. Two men come to my house, both Stardust and Buck. They didn't promise me that anything was going to be done, but they promised me that, we would fight. And like I tried the civil, common humanitarian way. So, now it's basically time to, look at another level, which, they were able to offer. At first I was, uncomfortable.
Asking for help,
being around family, because you feel like you're in shame. You're shamed because, we want to live up to, keeping your promises and, with whomever it is or whatever it is. And, but then when you see something's about to happen and you ask for help, particularly from Wells Fargo, they turn their back on you. But then again, it's they're not hesitating to try to foreclose on the home.
So, but then getting involved with Occupy Bernal did help you have this group of people that were behind you, and you were actually able to successfully postpone the auction. Now it's scheduled for June 1st.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll hear more from Alberto Del Rio in just a moment. I want to get some of our calls because we've got a lot of people calling, and we're going to have to go to a break in just a moment. Let's go to Tahir in Mountain View. Hi, Tahir.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking the call. I guess I still don't want to chime in and preach the choir, as it were. But this is a good chance to remind people who are listening that if you're facing foreclosure and you have a purchase money loan, two things. One, you can walk away without obligation on it. And two, this is the last year in which, unless there's an extension, you won't have forgiveness of debt income. So, I mean, you can take care of a tax aspect of this as well. And listening to the radio, as I have been while waiting on the call, I'm wondering, is there an effort to use the Internet as sort of a means for collective action here to get people who are facing, let's say, foreclosure from one bank to band together and say, we're all not going to pay, and we're all going to ask for the same sort of modification to the loan here, whether that's debt forgiveness or a restructuring of principal and equity.
Well, stay on the line with us, Tahir. Grace is nodding her head, and it sounds like with Vivian's case, they did use the Internet. They sent massive amounts of email, but go ahead, Grace.
Yeah, I think that it's been a combination, you know, and we also have to be, you know, strategic about how we're approaching the bank. So it's also being able to not, you know, find out who the right person is to talk to and go after. And, you know, the email blasts that we sent out that generated 1,400 emails to the CEO, you know, also has ability, you know, and then to follow up and let people know what the result was gives people, you know, the mindset. It's like, yeah, you know, let's do something together. I think to what you were asking about, like, you know, a mortgage strike, I guess that's what you're coming up
with. Is that what you're suggesting to hear?
Essentially, right. Yeah. I mean, a bank's not going to listen to one person, but if there's 1,500 or 10,000 people all with loans saying, you know, it's not going to be the $3,500 a month, it's just going to be $3.5 million a month that's not getting paid, that makes someone sit up and take notice. And the situation is these people are all in basically the same situation.
Yeah.
So the request should be the same.
I like your way of thinking on this. We have talked about it in our inner circles about what the next steps are in terms of like, you know, how to really put pressure. Because I think, you know, like thinking of the banks, it's like really, you know, when it comes to any modifications, even the settlement, there's very little that compels them to do anything. And the what moves a bank is public pressure and mm-hmm. people standing up and hitting their bottom line. And as much as they don't want to admit any, you know, wrongdoing on their part, I think the louder that we are collectively and the more organized and strategic we are, the more successful we're going to be.
So this is probably completely naive, but isn't there an opportunity for some bank to step in and be a hero here and sort of say, okay, I'll take over this mortgage and modify it for you? Or would they just lose too much money on the books?
I think the latter, what you just said, they'd lose too much money on the books, or, you know, they wouldn't make as much money as they would like to. It would be nice to find that bank and, you know, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, and any of the big five in the settlement. You're more than welcome to step up and do the right thing. So I'm not going to hold my breath, though. But yeah, it would be wonderful, but I haven't seen that.
Is there anybody that you see doing the right thing in terms of the banks or loan companies?
Not without pressure. And it's always case by case.
Okay, you just heard from Grace Martinez. She's an organizer with the Alliance of Californians for Community Empowerment. We're also joined by Alberto Del Rio and Vivian Richardson. They are both fighting foreclosure and having some successes there, and they're both from San Francisco. We're also joined by Cora Currier, who's going to be with us for another 10 minutes. If you have any questions about the $26 billion bank settlement, you can give us a call at 866-798-TALK. That number again is 866-798-8255. You can also send us an email to feedback@yourcallradio.org. And you can also go online to yourcallradio.org and post a comment there, and we will look for those. Let's see. So 866-798-8255. There aren't many open lines, but you can keep calling. Again, that's a toll-free number, 866-798-TALK. I'm Holly Kernan. You're listening to Your Call. We'll be right back after this short break.
You're listening to Your Call on local public radio, KALW San Francisco, where we have a number of locally produced music programs, and you can listen to them all week via our local music player. Go to KALW.org and click on the music tab. You can hear your favorite KALW music program anytime before it's rebroadcast the following week. It's at KALW.org.
Thank you.
For those of you joining us now, I'm Holly Kernan, and this is Your Call. We're podcasting our show. You can find more information at yourcallradio.org. That's also where you can listen to past shows and sign up for our newsletter to find out what's coming up next. Tomorrow, we'll have a conversation about the Obama presidency. How would you rate President Obama when it comes to energy, healthcare, and foreign policy? Friday, of course, is our media roundtable. It's the day that we speak with journalists about the week's news coverage. And Monday, we'll ask, is there a place for nuclear power in California? Today, we're having a conversation about how people are acting locally to stop foreclosures. We're talking about the foreclosure crisis in California and how people are taking power into their own hands to help themselves and others resist losing their homes. In San Francisco, Occupy Bernal activists have been successful in postponing 6 housing auctions, and they've set their sights on a citywide foreclosure and eviction moratorium. So have you been affected by foreclosure? How do you see people creatively fighting against evictions? You can join our conversation in just a minute when there's an open line at 866-798-TALK. You can also send us an email to feedback@yourcallradio. And if you have a show idea for us, you can drop us a line at feedback@yourcallradio.org. And you can also, as I said, post comments at our new website, yourcallradio.org. And we're wondering if you've been affected by an eviction or foreclosure. Have you resisted foreclosure? And what's been your experience? If you work in the banking industry, what are you seeing? You can give us a call at 866-798-8255. And let me get to some of those many callers that we have. Let me go first to David in San Francisco. Hi, David. David in San Francisco?
Yeah, morning. There was that final click. You know, I wanted to ask... if any of these financial institutions, we're seeing this statistic that's just recently come out that, 84% of all evictions in San Francisco are, whether or not it could be said fraudulent, they're using false data or improper documents. So to some degrees, 84% of all evictions in San Francisco are suspect. And with that in mind, it gets into pattern and practice and whether or not organized crime has a hand in this. And so I'm wondering about asset seizure as a part of this. And just to, some attribution, back in the late 60s, there was a book written about organized crime in New York and the issue of white flight. And if I recall right, the name of the book was something like 831 Rose Avenue. And it was about how the heroin trade had gotten involved in trying to capture neighborhoods, and they were causing whites to flee New York City, and they would use fraudulent use of HUD. And it was just this massive eviction, essentially, of New York City in the late 60s and early 70s. And I'm wondering if organized crime has a hand in this again.
I don't know if that's something anybody here can answer. Grace had an answer to your first question.
Yeah, just to, you brought up the 84%. It's 84% of foreclosures that occurred between 2009 and 2011 that had 84% of the foreclosures had problems
faulty with the paperwork
in terms of the foreclosure process. I'm sure there's, it doesn't mention the eviction process, so I just want to make that correction.
Yeah, and that was a report that San Francisco assessor Phil Ting asked for, that audit to find out, and it was pretty shocking data. 84%.
Yeah, it was, I think it was validating data. I think that a lot of homeowners, people were going through foreclosure, a lot of our ACE members who I think in the last few months we've been successful in rescinding loans and forcing the banks into admitting wrongdoing, is that they, you know, that this data actually just gave us more evidence rather than like having to patch together paperwork and stories from each individual.
And Cora, are you still there? I'll get to you in just a sec, Vivian. Are you still with us, Cora?
Yep.
So what do you see happening with this? I mean, if it's proved that banks have, filed faulty paperwork, had fraud in some of the mortgage documents, et cetera, what could potentially pressure the banks to start a moratorium to look at all this before they continue with these foreclosure proceedings?
Well, there was, it was discovered, and part of the amazing things that you can, reading through the documents that were filed as part of this mortgage settlement, part of The incredible thing, we're reading through some of the government audits, some of the government's investigation documents, and also some of the whistleblower suits that were settled as part of the overall settlement. You do see, no organized crime, but you do see there's one Bank of America employee said that he had signed 60 to 200 documents a day on foreclosure, audits. So this is, just rampant. Very quick, hasty, rapid processing of documents. So it has been shown that there was a lot of, just either negligence or, if not intentional, bad stuff being done. And so part of the settlement is, there were monetary fines in some of these cases and in other, and as I mentioned before, there's now this supposedly going to be this sort of homeowner's bill of rights, as they call it, which is going to be make for stricter rules for mortgage servicers. So that's what's being, touted as part of this settlement.
And B of A, Bank of America, recently announced a pilot program to let foreclosed families stay in their houses. Do you know how that will work? Grace, you're shaking your head. Go ahead, Cora, and then we'll get to Grace.
Oh, no, I was going to defer to her.
So you don't think that is working?
No. A lot of this is, we just come through so many cases, and it's the story over and over again. I mean, right now, HUD-certified counselors will tell you that 13% of their cases get modified. And it's, it's an issue with the banks being able to, be willing to do a modification. And a lot of the dual tracking and the problems that we've seen, especially with seniors, have not only been Wells Fargo, but primarily Bank of America, especially in the Southeast sector. So, I mean, I'm sorry that if I have to be cynical and scoff at a lot of these things, but until there's, some real restitution and real reform with the bank and a moratorium, which is what we really need, until there's an investigation that they can prove that they're doing things legally, I don't believe it.
And why isn't there more political pressure to do that, to have a moratorium?
It's a statewide issue. I think that locally that none of our, the banks, a few years ago, actually had passed a legislation that prevented local cities and counties to actually pass their own lending types of legislation. And this was a reaction to, efforts in Oakland when subprime lending, this was before the whole foreclosure crisis hit, where the residents there got together and noticed that there was a lot of subprime lending happening in East Oakland and pressured the city to pass a legislation. The bank's retaliation to that was passing a legislation statewide preventing any local city or county to pass their own. So you can't, locally, there are a lot of John Avalos, some of our supervisors have been stepping up to negotiate with the banks, the mayor's office of housing as well. However, this really lands on the governor's lap. The last moratorium we saw in California was, and I'm definitely not a Republican, was Arnold Schwarzenegger. So, we have a Democrat that you think would do something about this. So that it's in his lab. I don't know why he's not doing anything. We haven't had a personal conversation about it.
That's Grace Martinez. She's an organizer with the Alliance of Californians for Community Empowerment, or ACE. You're listening to Your Call. I'm Holly Kernan. You can join our conversation by calling 866-798-TALK. We're talking about the foreclosure crisis in California and how locals are fighting back against unjust evictions and the impossibility of getting a loan modification in many cases. 866-798-8255. It's a toll-free number. And let's go to Alum in Oakland. Hi, Alum.
Hello, hi.
Hi. Tell us your story.
I'm calling from Oakland, California, and I have a problem with the Bank of America. It has been almost 2.5 years for loan modification, and I keep sending them the same documents. They keep asking the same documents over and over and over again. The only thing I change is the date. If I sign in the date, keep asking the same document, and finally they said because of missing documents, they want to foreclose my house, and I was forced to apply for bankruptcy chapter 7, and I was protected with the bankruptcy, and now it's been discharged, and now I'm trying to get back to the loan modification, and they're not dealing with me at all. They just keep ignoring me, so I don't know exactly what to do, what would be the next step, and I was trying to keep the house everything what I could, but it's not working.
Well, stay with us, Alan. Let's hear from our panelists, Vivian or Grace or Alberta. What's your advice for Alan?
My advice to you would be to get together with Ace. You know, you're in it alone right now. So it's one of the most frustrating feelings because I was there. And you could only look to yourself. One of the things that I found that when I got involved with Occupy Brno and then also with, you know, with Ace is that, you know, that part of frustration and shame and everything, they helped me. They helped me as a person, you know, to actually start lifting up my head. So my great advice to you would be, you know, get together with your local Ace and have them start, you know, helping you. Unfortunately, it's going to take to some activism. And one of the things is that you're going to have to be willing to step up forward, you know. Mm-hmm. And remember, you're not going to be in it alone. You're going to have a good support system, a great support system at that. And that's what's, you know, helped me keep on going forward, you know, from the moment that I started till today.
Do you have that number?
Well, we'll put a link to all of that at yourcallradio.org. We'll put all of these resources at yourcallradio.org. Okay?
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you and good luck. Let's go to Buck in San Francisco.
Hi. I'd like to say that the real organized crime in this is the lenders.
Is this Buck from Occupy Bernal?
Yeah, it is.
Hi. They were laughing, and so I recognized that it must be you. No, please tell us. Tell us, Buck.
I want to say people like Vivian and Alberto are heroes. By having the guts to stand up and fight, they're setting an example for people suffering from predatory lending all over San Francisco, the Bay Area, and America. And it's always hardest on people like Rosa Parks who step up first. So God bless them.
Buck, how did you get involved with Occupy Brno?
Well, I've lived in Brno Heights since 1976. We're a very organized neighborhood. We fought to keep it mixed income and mixed ethnic and failed large in the face of gentrification. And when we found out that a lot of our neighbors, almost all of them people of color, and God help us, even homeowners of color, were getting pushed out of our neighborhood, we decided we should try and do something to help. And we couldn't have done anything without Ace. Ace is our sister. We're just Ace's little sister.
Well, thanks, Buck. You were going to say something else about long-term solutions?
I was just going to ask, what's the long-term solution? What do the banks need to do to solve this problem mid and long-term?
What do the banks need to do to solve this problem mid and long-term?
Yes, because it's the banks that have to are the ones that have to cave.
Go ahead, Alberto.
What they have to do is put a moratorium on all the foreclosures and really start loosening up their wallet instead of looking at the greed, because of the fact that it's not the fact that they can't modify any loans, is that they won't and are not willing to, you know, and when they are willing to, I mean, if they go into a principal forgiveness or anything like that, it's not like if they can't write it off, you know, on their taxes or anything like that, and they get that money back any which ways. So I mean, it's their greed has to stop, and they got to stop looking at the dollars and start looking at people as for people instead of just a dollar sign, and start treating people as people.
Cora, I know that you have to go, but let me just get you to weigh in on that. Have you seen anything that would give you hope that the banks are looking at doing some sort of a moratorium or changing the way that their practices?
I don't think that a moratorium is going to come from them. I mean, it's actually predicted that there'll be an increase in foreclosures this year because of the settlement, because banks now say, okay, we know, you know, what kind of regulations are now expected of us. We can now move forward with. There was sort of a backlog of foreclosures that were held up while banks waited to see what the terms of the settlement would be. So I don't think there's going to be a moratorium from their end. In terms of, you know, incentives for offering more loan forgiveness or other, you know, relief for borrowers, that is what the settlement is supposed to do. It actually gives, I mean, one thing that people have been critical of is that it actually gives banks, you know, incentive for doing things that they might already have, you know, been doing. They get, you know, the $20 billion that I mentioned earlier is money that banks have are expected to credit towards relief programs like principal reduction or refinancing. So it's not like they are going to give that money over to homeowners. They actually sort of get credit for doing these things.
So you think that this settlement might change the practices of banks?
It's a step at least.
And what are the what would be the financial costs to banks if they started to really take loan modification more seriously?
You know, that much is not clear. I mean, that part of this deal is to sort of actually minimize the cost for them in doing that, because a lot of them actually, like Ally, for example, basically planned for this mortgage settlement in their budget last year. So, you know, they're not going to take any sort of, their bottom line won't actually take any sort of hit from it. So the banks have sort of seen this coming and have been sort of moving money around. So there is a sense in which a lot of this is sort of soft money to the banks.
Well, thank you, Cora Currier, for joining us. I know you have to go. She's a writer with ProPublica, and she's been looking at the $26 billion big bank settlement over mortgage service abuses. It was finalized earlier this month. Thank you so much. And you're listening to Your Call. I'm Holly Kernan. We're joined by a panel of activists that are fighting foreclosures in their neighborhoods in San Francisco and all over the Bay Area. You can join our conversation at 866-798-8255. It's a toll-free number. If you've been affected by an eviction or a foreclosure, we'd love to hear your story. And are you seeing people using creative ways to fight against evictions? You can call us at 866-798-8255. You can also send us an email to feedback@yourcallradio.org. And what kind of conversation would you like to hear more about this issue? How would you like the banks to respond to people trying to save their homes? And what is the longer-term solution? 866-798-8255. So let's go next to Archbishop King in San Francisco. Hello?
Hi, morning.
You're with us. Hi, you're dealing with foreclosure yourself, right?
Yes, I am.
Tell us your story.
Well, I think Grace kind of spoke a little bit to my story. I think that my story is a community story. I think what we're looking at, and I think we're using very gentle language in talking about these banksters, and how they really preyed upon communities of color, and with premeditation, malice and forethought. I mean, it was a plan that was engineered, but really not just to set people up for evictions, but to rob this community of its wealth. It's a part of the out-migration that's coupled with, privatization of prisons, gang injunctions, and it also goes all the way back to the redlining of ghetto communities. So for me, it's a question of, I heard somebody say, what can the banks do? I don't think that it's about what the banks can do. It's what they'll be forced to do. And I think it's going to take those people that's sitting in the high seats in terms of political power to bring more than this semblance of a settlement.
And you've been part of ACE in terms of protesting your own foreclosure?
Yes, I have.
And I do
that with a spirit of trying to save my community. We get emotionally attached to our homes and we say they're our houses, but in reality, if you're paying $2,600 a month to stay somewhere, it's not really your house. If you don't believe me, go down to the Hilton and try to, when you pay for a room and you don't pay, you have to leave. So I think what they're trying to do is turn this state and this nation into a renter's state, where you have these banks, they won't deal with the so-called homeowners, but they'll deal with developers and they'll short sell those properties to developers who then flip them and lease them out at the same price of mortgages. So there's some real criminal activity going on here. And it's not about just appealing to the moral decency of banks, but it's really about coming at them with full force. And I'd rather borrow money from Al Capone is what I say, because I know he's a gangster. He'll break your legs, get your legs reset, and you're paying. But these banks, they're breaking hearts, they're breaking spirit, and they're destroying communities.
And you referred to them as banksters.
Yeah, someone called in and said that, you know, that this is organized crime. All of this stuff was done premeditated with malice and forethought. And the truth of the matter is that the banks have already gotten paid. In my case, I couldn't even be considered for modification until I was delinquent in my payment. The first time I applied, they said, oh, well, you're current, so you're not open for modification. And as some of the other people have spoken to, it's a paper game. You know, they lose your paperwork, they send it back and forth. And meanwhile, with the double tracking, the foreclosure, sales date is still moving forward. So it's going to take a little more than appeal to the good nature of the banks. These gangsters are like vampires. Many people don't realize that even the word mortgage is a French legal term that means death contract. And I think that's pretty much what we've been led into with these mortgages and these refinancing, is everybody wants a mortgage, but they don't realize what a grave situation that they're being pulled into, and especially in the communities of color, where we've been led, you know, to the graveyard to bury our hopes, our dreams, our children's inheritances, and our retirement. So,
well, you bring up so many points that we should speak to. The one I'd like to start with is how has though banding together changed the way that you look at this?
Well, I think what has to happen, I think Alberto spoke to it. You know, we're people of color are proud people. Poor working people are proud people. And when we find ourselves in situations like this, there's a pride thing that gets in the way, yep. And that shame. So I think the first thing we need to do is encourage the community to take off the cloak of shame and realize that they have been really set upon by people of ill intent, and that coming together and standing up. People without an army is a people that really don't have a voice. So we have to back up off of the shame game and realize that as a unified force, we can put some pressure, not just on the banks, but elected officials that have the authority to write laws and to do things that need to be done to people that are committing crimes.
Well, thank you so much for your call. I'm Holly Kernan, and this is Your Call. So Mr. King brought up all kinds of issues, but one of the issues that he brought up that I think isn't talked about enough is the idea of predatory lending, of these practices that have been found in numerous studies, legal documents, including this settlement, to be fraudulent and incorrect. And yet a lot of the time the narrative is one of which you spoke, Alberto, which is, hey, these are people who are delinquent. They're just not making good on their payments. So, Grace, you've talked about changing this conversation, this dynamic. What would you like people to know about that?
I think that we have to realize, like, considering the numbers of foreclosures that are happening, right, you know, whether it's 2,800,000 by the end of the year, like, the numbers are staggering. 2 million people did not conspire to crash the economy and all of a sudden decide not to pay, you know, pay their mortgages. However, there are 5 banks out there that bought, 25 banks in the last 20 years that are more culpable and more sophisticated to actually plan something like this. I think there have been several documentaries, if people want to give value to those things, that actually talk about that. And I think that there has to be an understanding by the public that, you know, this isn't your fault, because, you know, it's like I've got to knock on doors and talk to people and wake them up about, like, what's happened with the foreclosure, because every foreclosure in a community affects everyone else.
And let's get one more caller on, Keith from San Francisco. I'm really sorry, but you'll have to be brief because we're running out of time.
Well, I just want to say, you know, we have a group called Bay Area Resource. I mean, we're working with State Senator Lee Lundy on being proactive, especially in San Francisco and the Bayview and Hunters Point area, and to, you know, get people to be proactive and don't take on the banks alone. I mean, use an organization, use a HUD counselor is really important. I know only like 10 or 13% of people get loan modifications, but if you do it with a counselor, your odds that they're not going to lose your paperwork or something like that, they're not going to lose your paperwork or something like that is better. We've actually had a person on a panel who she works at a bank now, so she knows how to package loans. She's actually gotten principal reduction, which is really amazing in this time because that's a very rare occurrence. But it's, if you know how to package it and what to ask for, a lot of these people used to work at banks.
Okay, Keith, thank you so much for your call. And let me put that to the panel in our last minute. What can people do to put pressure on banks to change this equation? And we only have just a few seconds, so go ahead.
Well, to Keith's point, we always work with HUD-certified counselors because I think we, you know, as activists, that's what we do. We're activists. We're not like servicers or negotiators. So I think that's number one, always reach out to a HUD-certified counselor.
Reach out. Yeah, Alberto.
Well, what I'd like to say is, first of all, it's not your fault. They set up these loans, so it's not your fault. Step out. Step out of the shame. Raise up your head. Get together with some, you know, activists, you know, ACE, Occupy Bruno, whatever it is, you know, locally. And I want to call out Jerry Brown. Do something about it.
All right. Well, that's Alberto Del Rio. Vivian, go ahead. Your final words.
I'm sorry. and I just need to echo Grace and Alberto is to have individuals reach out to the HUD certified counseling agencies as well as put that shame behind you, you know, put it behind you and reach out.
Thank you so much, Vivian. Vivian Richardson is a member of ACE. You also heard from Alberto Del Rio. He's an activist with Occupy Bernal. They're both dealing with foreclosures. Grace Martinez is an organizer with the Alliance of Californians for Community Empowerment, or ACE. You can call them at 1-877-633-9251. We'll put a link to all of these web resources at yourcallradio.org. You can also post comments and continue this conversation there. Thank you all for joining us. Thanks for your calls, and I apologize that we couldn't get to all of them. I'm Holly Kernan, and here's what's coming up tomorrow.
How do you rate President Obama's record on healthcare, energy, and foreign policy? On the Next Year Call, with the election cycle well underway, we'll have a debate about Obama's record as president. Joshua Frank, co-author of Hopeless, Barack Obama and the Politics of Illusion, has compiled critiques of the president's performance. You can join us at 10 or send an email to feedback@yourcallradio.org. If you supported Obama in 2008, how do you view him now? It's Your Call with Rose Aguilar and you.
Support for Your Call comes from the listeners of KALW. To listen to past shows or to sign up for our daily podcast, visit yourcallradio.org. Malihei Raz is on and Ellie Budner produced the show. Matt Martin is executive producer. Pete Misick is our web editor and Becca Hoekstra is our intern. Phil Hartman is our chief engineer and David Latudlieb is the studio engineer. Our theme music was composed and produced by Live Human. Your Call is produced by KALW in San Francisco. Special thanks to our partners at KUSP in Santa Cruz. You can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org.